Go to the book of Luke here this day. I once again want to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day. And I want to wish happy Father's Day to the mothers that have played the role of the father. I'm going to be speaking on a parable that means a lot to me that I said I would never preach again. I preached it once, and that was on a Saturday about 17 years ago, a day before my wedding. At this point, none of my family wanted anything to do with me. I had burned everybody. And something took place within my life as a very young convert there in Salinas, Victor Avery, Salinas, California, where all my family from all over the place, Texas, California, I think one came from Spain, they all wanted to be there. I had a couple of years under my belt doing good in the church. I believe that just finally kicked the habit of smoking. And something within me was wanting to share, knowing that my family was going to be there, but most of all, my dad was going to be there. And my dad don't get on a plane. He's always had finances. You wouldn't catch him on a plane. He never got on a plane all his life. He drove all the way to California from Texas. And I said, Pastor, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I was a real young convert. I didn't know a verse in the Bible. And I just says, I feel like I need to share. All my family's coming, and I burned them all. I says, my dad's going to be here, and I owe so much to my dad. This was my biological father. I said, I owe so much to my dad. I want to show him that I'm doing good. Pastor Herb would look at me knowing that I was not ready for the pulpit yet. And he would say, you're preaching. You're preaching Sunday. You preach Sunday night. I'll let you preach in the evening. And it was like I asked myself, like, why did I ask him? I was ready to hear a no. But I wanted to prove my love to my father that loved me the best he could. Even as being an alcoholic, he loved me. He would always forgive me. He understood addiction. And I wanted to prove so much to my dad, my biological father, that even through all his drinking and stuff, he would still somewhat have an order in the house and provide for 7 kids. And coming from a cotton picker to buying a brand new house made the way he wanted, 5-bedroom house, 30 acres of land, from poverty, going, not knowing a word of English, him and my mom going to a college, amen, going to college without knowing a word of English. And it was my dad, and Pastor Herb said yes, and I remember sharing on the prodigal son. And I would have Pastor Ray Burrell that's now pastoring in Minneapolis. We were real close. We're close right now, but we were really close. He was director before I directed. I followed him. And I says, hey, Ray, man, I want you to lay hands on my dad. They were all Catholics at this time, all of them, every last one of them. And he saw it as a great honor. And I don't forget ever that day, that preaching, that message. I remember just reading about 10 pages I had written up. I didn't know the word. I didn't know nothing. And I just copied a lot of stuff. I just copied everything. And Pastor Herb told me, don't worry about the message. I'll never forget. He says, just make it standing behind the pulpit, for that is the message. You're no longer the same person. That's the message. Just get behind the pulpit. And I remember praying in tongues. I don't know if it was tongues or not. If I was copying other people's tongues, I don't know what it was, man. But I was so scared. There was a fear. And I remember coming behind the pulpit and making an altar call, reading 10 pages that I had copied off everywhere I could find to copy. And I remember all my family, all 7, and even my mom and dad, all of them with their hands up in the air. And these are Catholics, every last one of them. And we had fast Victory Outreach music, keyboard, drums, Catholic churches. You have an organ, period. And I remember them all there at the altars, all broken with their hands up in the air. And I went back to the words of my pastor, just get behind the pulpit. After that, two or three of them would immediately get saved in my family as Christians, being able to see what God was doing in my life. My brother would cruises me to the bank to pull some money out. And there was a prostitute that came to the parking lot and came to our car. And as she came up, she was asking for change, and I started ministering to her. I seen tracks, needle tracks and everything. My brother was a square. He was smoked a little bit of pot, and that was it. He was a Marine. And I remember ministering to that prostitute. I might have been a young convert, but I knew how to minister early on in the ministry. And I remember ministering to that prostitute and leading her to the Lord, and my brother was floored. He was just blown away at what took in place in front of him. And from that day on, my brother became a fanatic in winning people to the Lord. He had never seen nothing like that in his life. And I would calmly look at him and say, "Brother, we do this all the time. We do this all the time." Amen. And I remember all my family at the altar. I knew the Lord had nudged me, and my pastor gave me the opportunity, and I want to present opportunity to all the men here this morning, that there's an opportunity for you here in this church. There's an opportunity. An opportunity of a lifetime, an opportunity that the enemy could never offer you on his best day. An opportunity that would cause you to grow, to cause you to go from a hate status to loving people, no matter what their condition may be. And getting that father, establishing that heart of a father of compassion. This opportunity is for all you men that are here, no matter what your upbringing was. No matter if you didn't have a father or a mother. I want to let you know that the love of the Father, the compassion of the Father still covers all those areas. All those areas. I want to let you know that today it's time that we stop blaming mom and dad. Because we have a heavenly Father that is able to cover all our mistakes and to allow us to become those great, great men of God that He has called us to be. I told myself I would never preach this as long as I live a second time. And I started getting moved by the Lord more and more. I says, "I'm going to do it." I believe we're in a season right now. And I believe many of you men need to hear this message. And it's not just for the fathers. It's for the single men here this day. The single men. Get a hold of God first before you get a hold of a woman. Amen. Save yourself a lot of drama, a lot of time, a lot of money. Amen. Become that man of God first and then get married. Amen. Stay single until that process takes place in your life. Become that son first before becoming that father. Amen. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read all the way to verse 32, the whole story. I'm going to read the whole story. I know what time it is. The Bible reads, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they begin to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I want to be speaking, usually when this parable is preached about, it brings emphasis to the son. And here this beautiful Sunday morning, I want to bring a greater emphasis to how the father operated dealing with this son of his. I want to really look at the love of the father. And here, the love of the father, the love of the father is being demonstrated through this parable, is a perfect love. Is a perfect love. This father here demonstrates who our heavenly father is. Whether we're that son that has gone wayward, has made many mistakes in his life, or that second son that became angry, that was always obedient. Here, the love of the father was the same for both of his sons. Not only for the one that was obedient, but even for the one that had been disobedient. The love of the father here is the same for all of us. For the father that's doing great right now, for the father that's not doing too hot. This perfect love of our heavenly father is equal to all. So I want to really paint a picture of the love and the compassion of this father that was able to have an unconditional love for his son that was going the wrong way and for his son that was doing everything right. After he showed his compassion to this son that had done everything wrong, this son that had always been obedient became angry. Became angry. 4 points I want to speak about here this beautiful Sunday morning. The first point I want to make is that every father will pass on something to his children. Every father. Every father will pass on something to his children. Whether you're a good father or a bad father, you're passing something on to your children. I believe David said something to that effect. even fathers, I put here, that do great in raising of their children can still have a wayward children. This father here in this parable is our Heavenly Father, a perfect love. And here this Sunday morning, his children have come to worship him. And even though the one that's been saved the longest in this building loves Jesus, has still done a lot of wrong, even though the love of our Father is full of power and compassion, don't mean that his sons and daughters are going to do what they're supposed to do. You see, as almost every man that spoke up here said, did he have no father upbringing? Did he have no father as a good example to follow, a mentor that they could follow? But yet, in Jesus, we have the example that is flawless, that is perfect. And even though we have a Father that is so great and perfect, he knows us. And that's why it's written in Scripture that we all fall short of his glory and honor. Now, we might have good reasons to say that I grew up incorrectly because of the guidance of my father. But here, this beautiful Sunday morning, we can't use that with the guidance and the person of the Holy Spirit that is present here this morning. That will always, every single time, not only on the mountaintop experience lead you right, but even in the midst of the storm, the person of the Holy Spirit, every single time will lead you right. Every single time will speak, don't do that. We'll give you notice. We'll give you a step ahead of the enemy notice to do what's right. How many feel right now with the presence of the Lord here, the Spirit of the Lord here, that we have a Heavenly Father that is perfect? That the agape love that he has for us is perfect. And we know it when we are obedient to his will and to his plan and to his word that we become blessed quickly. We know that the love of the Father is real. But there's an enemy that comes in always like an angel of light, seeking who he may deceive, devour. And here this day, even though the love of the Father is not only great and perfect, don't mean we're going to do what is right. This father within this parable I put here in our early morning point was that made all the right moves. He made all the right moves with that prodigal son of his and all the right moves with his other son that had always been obedient. They both needed guidance, not just the prodigal son, but even the son that had been in obedience needed guidance. There's times when we get caught slipping as men of God in the making, where things are going good in our life. We get a good job. Things start happening. God's faithfulness, his blessings are upon us. And then we're in obedience. And then we can get caught slipping. The good son got caught slipping. He was in anger for his brother returning back home. And the father creating a celebration for his brother that had been going the wrong way. He did not understand, even though he was in obedience, he did not understand the love of his father. Just as much as that young boy did not understand the clip we've seen, that his father had been retired already and everything he was doing made him look as a man of poverty, but he was making it happen for others that didn't have. Yesterday, it was an honor to be with the men all day. The day before I was, I got the message together, and it was almost like a joy. I had it in me. I said, man, I'm going to go be with the men all day tomorrow. It was almost going like to go to the zoo or something, or go look at some pit bulls or something. And I went over there, before you knew it, they were doing a garage, before you knew it, I went and got some tires on that trailer, before you knew it, man, you know, they loaded up the whole trailer, that's why it's in there, it looks like it has 20 couches that belong to the Jolly Green Giant in there. Before you know it, we started doing this, before you know it, Martin would come over and say, do you want to go to the movies? I said, Martin, man, it's 8 o'clock, man, we won't get out of midnight, 12:31. Well, just asking, do you want to go to movies, Pastor, you know? I'm going by myself. So not only did I go to the movies with Martin, I went to the movies with Martin in his car. See, many of you don't know about the car that was given by Grace. Makes all kinds of noises, amen? Had a big old hole in the muffler. He did a little rig on it where he put a little piece of piping right there, you know? He two screws and it's quiet now. And if it goes, the idle when it's just running, right? And then he's got Puerto Rican flags in there. Got Puerto Rican worship music. And I'm there in the little Civic. He's got the little car, man. And we're going down the road. The back's lowered. I says, man, this guy's going to, is it going to make it to the theater? And he looks at me. He goes, yeah, his cap. And I could swear that it was slightly tilted. I said, man, you put that cap on straight. He's all wearing red. He's all matched. He's got $100 shoes on, $100 shirt, cap, everything. And I got a Victory Outreach shirt for about 8 years old and some blue jeans, right? So we're cruising, right? And we're driving, and I didn't like the music, man. I couldn't get into it, right? Then he looked at me. He goes, you don't like my music, do you? I said, no, I don't. You know the worship music. So I thought he would change it, right? Did he change it? We kept hearing bah, 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 that Puerto Rican stuff, right? He says, Pastor, that song was about someone had cancer. I said, okay, Martin. Entiendo español. So we made it up there. We're walking in and through the back of it. It was all packed out. And we see people with money. I ain't going to tell you what color they are, but you could guess. We're in the suburb, right? Blue's Clue. Come with a brand new Toyota Camry car. And the guy gets off with a big popcorn thing. I said, man, what a dude, man. Because if you buy the big popcorn, it's fill it up all you want, right? Guy gets on with a girlfriend and everything. And we're passing through the back. And the exit door that are in the back is opened up. And the guy runs and he catches it. And they get in for free. Do you know that got me mad? I couldn't let it go. Martin was just worried all about what he looked like when we went in there. You know, he's walking like this, new shoes and all in red and all matching in there. And I could not get over that these wealthy people snuck into the theater and the people that opened the door didn't say nothing. I'm walking by and I say, hey, that's not good. I felt like saying, we're not on the south side or something. So I went in. They went not only free, but with a big old bucket, empty thing of popcorn. I had free popcorn. Me and Martin were in line, right? And I was just waiting for them to show up. Man, I said, I want to pull their covers. We wanted to leave a note, but we couldn't find a pen. I was going to put, we got you on the camera work. The next time you do this, we're going to call the police officers on you. We couldn't find a pen to put it on their car window. I was so mad. It just didn't fit. I don't know how I went there. Yeah, I was with Martin. I was with the guys all day. Had a great time just kicking it. Before you knew it, I was eating pizza with them, drinking a Coca-Cola, doing all the things I shouldn't be doing, right? Eating wise. But I had a great time being there. Had a beautiful time being there. Here, this father understood his sons. I put here, what makes a great father? It's not perfect children because there's not any to be found. It's what makes a great father. It's not perfect children I put here, but this is a good point here. What makes a great father is planting the perfect seed in the child. What makes a great father is planting the perfect seed within that child. God's word, giving them God's word, is perfect. We could be imperfect fathers giving the perfect gift of God's seed, God's word, that is able to be implanted within their lives. We can be missing it and be giving them God's word and still be a great father. Because what we're giving them is perfect. It's God's incorruptible seed that can get any man, woman, or youth through any season and every season. It's God's word. And that's why I push having a relationship with Jesus all the time. I ain't perfect, but I'm still your spiritual father. I'm still a son of my heavenly father. I'm still a spiritual son of Pastor Herb and Sister Margot. But I have what is perfect within my life that covers all my mistakes. It's God's word. You want to be a father on the rebound? You want to be a father that starts doing good? I thank the Lord that my children have been in service since the born, hearing the word over the children's ministry, word being implanted. That's why the children's ministry is so important. The word being planted in them, the word being planted in them, the word being planted in them. God's word is perfect. And it's something all of us can offer our children. I have a story here where a young girl, 17 years old, had a boyfriend. And she brought him to her dad, which was a Christian. She brought him to her dad. She was a Christian. And she says, "Dad, look, he's so handsome. He's got a good job. He's educated. He's so charming, Dad. Look at him." And she went to give this big old resume dealing with her new boyfriend. And his parents are really nice. And within all that, the father, being a Christian, with discernment said that this charming young man, which he is, eventually is going to bring you big problems. Big problems. Because I didn't hear nothing about that he's a Christian. I didn't hear nothing about that his parents are Christians. So if the seed, God's word, the seed of God has never been implanted in his life, the weeds are going to choke out all his potential, no matter how gifted, how educated, everything, his purpose, everything he was supposed to be in the Lord is going to be choked out by the seeds of this world that have been implanted within his life. We need to be very careful in who we choose to be with. You can't rush that area. And here, this spiritual father popped his daughter's dreams of what she was looking at, this handsome, charming, smart, he had everything going on, but didn't have Jesus. The father would go on to say, "I didn't hear nothing about Jesus shared about him. Everything that counts is missing in this man's life that you think so highly of. Everything is missing." The title of this morning's message, I put, "Fathers Are Sowers." Then I changed it before I came up here and said, all fathers are sowers. The second point this morning is, a great dad knows his children and believes in them. In verse 12 of the parable, the Bible reads, the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. The father knew that his son was going to blow all his money foolishly. Here within this parable, why didn't the father come against his son? Why didn't the father come against his son? The reason is because he knew his son. He knew his son. Two types of children in this world. You're either one or the other. The old saying, don't touch the stove. Some listened and didn't touch the stove. But to the next child, don't touch the stove. And we went ahead and touched the stove. Amen? How many touched the stove when you weren't supposed to? Amen. Praise the Lord. Freedom of choice. Here, this father, knowing his son, gave him the freedom of choice to leave and to squander all his money off. He gave him the freedom of choice. I put here this early morning also, this father knew his son had to fail first in order to come humbled. This father knew that his son first had to fail in order to be able to come humbled. I believe that's pretty much the story for the majority of all of us here. Even when we're saved, some go back out there because of freedom of choice, freedom of will. Does the love of the Father remain, or does it disappear? It remains there. But he's going to let you go do what you got to do. But when you're ready to come back, he's going to be there for you every single time. Every single time. The love of the great Father was there for his son. The father believed in his son. We're speaking about the one that went and did the wrong things. How do we know that this father believed in his son? It's found in verse 20. Found in verse 20. The Bible reads, so he got up and went to his father. This is when he came to his senses, right? So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. What a reaction from the father to his son that had just blown everything. That had just squandered off everything. What a reaction of a father. To still be there. And this father knew his son. When his son left, he didn't continue to operate with the son that was being obedient. But every day he was on a lookout. Because he knew that he had planted the word of the Lord in his life. And verse 20 says that from a distance he saw his son and the father took off running. And even though his son was making mistakes within his life, the father knew that the word was in him. That the word was in him. So the father would act correctly and would be waiting in faith
and in hope for the return of his son. It's one of the hardest things for a father with his sons and daughters when they go way bad, when they go way wrong, to continue to love them while they're doing everything wrong, to continue to accept them, to continue to work with them while they're doing everything wrong, even when they know better. But this father, from a distance, tells me he was waiting. He knew his son. He knew his son would come back. So this father every day would be on the lookout for his wayward son to return. The third point, the last third and fourth one are real quick. If you're wondering and you're trying to do math on your watch right now, saying he's on his second point, and he said there was four. Let's get positive. Amen? The third point is a great father acts, this is a powerful point, a great father acts from the wisdom of what is needed and not by emotions of what is deserved. A great father acts from the wisdom of what is needed and not by emotions of what was deserved. That father could have ran all the way down that hill from a distance, seen his son weighing half the amount of weight, all skinny, all dirty, and he could have rebuked him. He could have let him have it. Go to your room. But he used wisdom. He gave what was needed to this son. He embraced him. He even kissed him. He even threw a party for him. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need even when we're going wrong and we deserve the wrath of God. That's the grace and the mercy of the Lord. He knows what each and every one of us here this day need. And as long as we continue to make our way toward Him, He will give us what we need to go forward, to be forgiven, to continue to grow, and to get back in position. A great father acts from the wisdom of what is needed and not by emotions of what is deserved. Fourth point. In verse 17, the Bible reads, when he came to his senses, that's the NIV translation. There's a lot more translations that read, when he came to himself, when he came to himself. And as you break that, when you break that down into Greek, it means when he came to himself. That's a better translation, amen? When you break it down in the Greek, it means when he came to himself. Majority of other translations, a lot of them use his senses, but more use when he came to himself. Verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? When he came to his senses, if we use the word senses, when he came to, it could simply imply that he realized something new, that he had realized when he came to his senses in his thinking. He came to come to a place to that implies that something new was taking place within his thinking. But when we use the word when he came to himself, the Greek meaning, himself, it implies that all along he wasn't living as the person he really was. When he came to himself, when he came to the place of what had been deposited within his life, when he came to himself, when he came to who he really was, What was planted in him was better than the way he had been living. What was planted and deposited within his life from his father was greater than the way he had been living. When he came to himself, who he truly, truly was, not the way he had been acting, but by who he truly was, when he came to himself, it's when he headed towards back to his father's house. When he came to who he truly, truly was. Not by what he had been saying, not by his actions, but who he truly, when he came to himself. To what had been implanted within his life. He was better. And now I'll let all you men know that you're better. The word of the Lord that is in your life. That we can get better and better and better in the way we carry ourselves. Hear this son, even though he was a wayward son, and even though he had squandered all his money with prostitutes and all these things, none of that was able to conquer the incorruptible seed that the Father had implanted within his life. And as your spiritual father, that is what I'm doing here this morning. I'm implanting not what I think, but the word of the Lord in your life that's greater than who you are. That can bring you to the person that God has called you to be and not this world. I know what the word of the Lord is able to do when it's implanted within an individual's heart. That no matter what storm comes, the word of the Lord remains. The scripture says when everything else passes away, that the word of the Lord remains. It's the anchor that remains. It's the anchor that holds. No matter what you're going through. The enemy might have been able to steal this and rob this from you and take away children, marriage. But that incorruptible seed of the Lord, the word of the Lord, remains. The wisdom of the Father now was able to start seeing what he had deposited, the results of the seed. It don't say how long he had been gone. But now, the wisdom of this father, by meeting the need, instead of giving him what he deserved, he was able to start seeing the seed within his life start to bud, start to flourish. Verse 18 says that the son would say, I have sinned against, I will set out, verse 17, verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Here it tells us the son not only recognized that he had been wrong to his father, that he had sinned before his father, but he also knew that he had sinned, against heaven. This son knew that he was a citizen of heaven. This son knew that he was saved. He knew that he was a Christian. And even though he was still caught going the wrong way. So he would say, I have sinned not only against you, Father, but before heaven. And I close with this. I, as a son of my pastor, Pastor Herb, I have 18 years being a son. I put here in my little notes this morning, as a father, I have roughly, as a spiritual father in this city, I have roughly going on 13 years right now as a spiritual father. I have more time as a son than I do as a spiritual father. As a biological father to my children, I have about, I don't know, I guess 16, 17. But the one I have most time in is being a son. I put here, great fathers are great sons. Great fathers are great sons. You want to be a great father one day? You want to become, as David said, a spiritual father one day of another church? Be a great son. Be a great son. Great sons create great fathers. Too many want to be fathers without being a son. It's hard to raise children when you ain't in Christ and you're trying to do it in the natural. It's complicated as it is doing it in the spirit, raising children. I thank the Lord for my pastor that I can say I've been under for 18 years now and counting. 18 years now and counting. It's allowed me to be and become who I am today. God would use this morning, I was in prayer, I was so broken. My dad's going really bad, Alzheimer's, he's going real bad right now. And I got his picture on top of a stack of my books right there. It's real close to me in my office where I pray. It's like a couple of feet from me. So I was broken because of the Father, my Heavenly Father. I was broken to my Heavenly Father. And then as I was broken to my Heavenly Father, I started thinking of my spiritual father, Pastor Herb. And my eyes are closed and I'm just broken there in the presence of the Lord in my office. And then I opened my eyes and my biological father was looking right at me. What about me, guy? I ain't gone yet. That's what my dad's real witty. And then I would really become broken. Seeing my father's picture right there that has almost 90% full-time Alzheimer's right now. They're putting on medication and everything. That guy always wants to run away from the place. He's pushing people, jumping people, calling people names in the place. And my dad's a nice man. His mind's gone. And my dad was there looking at me. My dad was always there for the underdog in our school. We were all in sports. We were all short and everything. And he would always cheer us on, even when we were getting whooped on in the scoreboard. He would keep on cheering like we were winning. One thing my dad was, he was always for the underdog because he didn't have a father either. He was a foster kid. He grew up without a father. So he would always root for the underdog. So here I was, broken in the presence of the Lord, thanking the Lord for his goodness in my life, thanking him for Pastor Herb. And then when I open my eyes, I see my biological father there that I can love with all my heart today. And now I've become a spiritual father, a father. Because I was a good son, a good son. I want good sons. Even sons that don't understand don't mean you're a bad son. You're just a son in the making. Sometimes we go wayward, but the word's in you. It'll keep you. And more words you get in you, the better kept you'll be. The further when you go off in a distance, it won't be in a far distance. It'll just be a little off. And the more word you get, you're just a little off. Before you know it, you're off so little that you can get right back real quick instead of getting stuck. As the worship team kindly please makes their way.